Imagine composing a statement 2,400 years before it occurred, and sending that to the world. It was Isaiah who spoke such words. And he said this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide plunder rejoice. As on the day of Midian, you shattered the yoke that burdened them, the staff that was on their shoulders, and the rod of their oppressors. Because every boot of the thundering warriors and every garment rolled in blood will be burned fuel for the fire. A child is born to us, a son is given to us. Authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please remain standing for the reading of our Christmas gospel from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring you good news, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw him, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, it is a joy to be together here tonight, and it is a joy for me because I have good news to share. Good news of a wonderful gift that God has given to us all. And as we prepare to focus on that gift this evening, I invite you to take a look at this video. Greatest gift given for you. Born in a feeding trough, one day would suffer and die on a tree. The ultimate gift, God's one and only Son. He came to give the world a restart. He came to give you a restart. He loved the world so much that He came so that we all might have a new beginning. And that's what we're here to celebrate on Christmas Eve. Once again, and this evening, as we often do here, there are some notes that I would invite you to take out of your program and follow along and write things down as you feel led to do so. And first of all, I just want to focus for a minute on the world that Christ was born into. You know, Christ arrived in a dull and bleak world. The world that Christ was born into was dirty. I know we see pictures that portray something else, like the world Jesus was born into was nice and it was clean, but it wasn't. Disease was widespread. This world was filled with misery, and there were many, many people who suffered so much and had given up hope. Jesus also arrived in a world that was uncertain and struggling for leadership. There was division everywhere. Rome was in power, a brutal dictatorship, inept leadership at every level. And even the religious leaders were more concerned with their position and their power than they were with serving God's people. The people to whom Jesus came were like sheep without a shepherd, lost, uncertain, struggling for leadership. Christ also arrived into a world that was overwhelming and demanding. Some estimate that as much as 40% of the population of the Roman Empire at that time was slaves. The work was hard and difficult and backbreaking. Everyone in the neighborhood that Jesus grew up in was burdened with heavy taxes, living from day to day on the edge of survival, and life was overwhelming for them. And it was very, very demanding. Jesus also arrived in a world that was living and dying without a sense of hope. You know, 2,000 years ago, people were pretty much stuck in the circumstances they were born into. There were very few rags-to-riches stories. If you were poor, you pretty much stayed that way. And boys carried on the family trade or business if there was one, and if there wasn't, well, they made do as best they could. And girls stayed home and learned household things with mom until at the age of 12 or 13, their fathers would arrange a marriage for them. And people back then rarely traveled more than 30 miles from their homes. They lived, they died, pretty much without a sense of hope. And Christ also arrived in a world that was full of conflict and trouble. There were deep divisions along racial lines, economic lines, religious lines. Even within the Jewish faith, there were great factions, and hatred was at an all-time high. The world Jesus was born into did not value the life of everyone. God so loved you. God so loved the world that he entered this world that was filled with hopelessness and misery and strife and hate so that all the world could have a restart. And you know, everywhere that Jesus went, people experienced a restart. When Jesus entered the world a little over 2,000 years ago, history restarted. In fact, it is 2017 going on 2018, and we mark the calendar based on this world-changing event that happened that we celebrate tonight. History restarted with Jesus, and he gave the opportunity for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to have a restart. Jesus valued people. He valued women in a time when women were not valued. He valued Mary and Martha and Mary Magdalene and the Samaritan woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery and the woman with the flow of blood that reached out and touched his garment one day. He gave women key roles in building the kingdom. And he valued children too. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. I'm going to give them a restart." We're going to value women, he said. They're precious. We're going to value kids. They're precious. Everywhere Jesus went, people experienced a restart. And the same is still true today. Everywhere Jesus goes, there's an opportunity for a restart. And so my question for you on this Christmas Eve is this. Where do I need a restart? Maybe your personal world tonight feels hopeless, like the world Jesus was born into. Maybe you feel like your life is just dull and boring. Or maybe you have decisions to make and you don't know how to make them. Or maybe your life feels overwhelming and you don't know how you can possibly keep up with everything. Maybe you don't know how to face tomorrow. Well, whatever your circumstances this evening, What I want to say to you is, Merry Christmas. It's a Merry Christmas because 2,000 years ago, God entered the world to give you and to give me a restart, a new beginning. And that's why we say Merry Christmas. Because there is not a hopeless person. And there is no one here tonight that needs to remain the same. We can make it a Merry Christmas when we allow God to enter into our personal world and to give us a restart. You know, hundreds of years before God entered the world, the prophet Isaiah spoke those words of hope that Pastor John read a few minutes ago. And he was letting people know, hey, the restart is coming. Let's read together that verse that's printed there in your notes, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Are you ready? For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah is saying that this child embodies all of the qualities that would bring a restart to the world. This is what Isaiah is saying. First of all, he's saying that his name is Wonderful. And that takes care of the dullness of life. When Isaiah says he's going to be wonderful, he's really saying how extraordinary this child is. He's going to add something that no one else has ever been able to add. He's going to be wonderful and awesome. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And then he says, you know, the thief comes out to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly. He wants to make your life wonderful, exciting, fulfilling, great. I wonder, are you bored? I mean, isn't it amazing how many of us today are bored? We have so much, and yet we're hoping we're going to get that gift that's going to move our life from being bored to being exciting. But there's only one gift that can take us to that higher place. And that's the gift of Jesus Christ. His name is Wonderful. And then Isaiah goes on to say his name is Counselor. And that takes care of the decisions of life. We all make decisions. Decisions that will impact our lives, not just today, but also in the future. And decisions we make can impact not just us, but all the people around us. Financial decisions, relationship decisions, career decisions. Listen, before you make a decision, call on Jesus. He's the Wonderful Counselor. In John chapter 1, we read this, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Our Wonderful Counselor is full of grace. He always listens, always affirms, always encourages, always compassionate, always wanting what's best for you and me, full of grace. And He's also full of truth. His Word is truth. He knows the truth about you. He knows you and me even better than we know ourselves. And so if we're struggling with a decision, why not spend some time with the one who is full of grace and truth and can show us the way that leads to life? And then Isaiah goes on and he says, His name is Mighty God. And that takes care of the demands of life. And we know that life can be demanding. We worry, we get anxious, we might even get depressed. We don't know if we're up to what life is bringing our way. Isaiah says, His name is Mighty God. And that means that He's a warrior. He's a captain who has come back from victory. And when Jesus was here on earth, He exercised this godly power. The Gospels tell us that Jesus had power over nature. Even the wind and the sea obeyed Him. He restored sight to the blind. He cleansed the leper. He cured the sick. He made beautiful things out of broken people. He was Mighty God. And He even had power over death. The Apostle Paul knew about that power, and he invites us to know it as well. There's a great verse in Matthew chapter 11 that I'd like us to read together here this evening. Let's read it. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. So give your burdens to Jesus. He's a mighty God. He takes care of the demands in your life. And then Isaiah says, His name is Everlasting Father. And that takes care of the destiny of life. Do you know that this passage in Isaiah is one of only 13 times that God is referred to as Father in the Old Testament? But in the New Testament, Jesus calls God Father 150 times, and I think He wants us to know something about God by doing that. You know, whenever we talk about fathers, it can conjure up many different feelings. Some of you have had very loving fathers, but some of you have maybe had fathers that were distant or absent. And if your father wasn't there for you or didn't provide for you, it might be difficult to think that God is anything like a father. And even the best of our earthly fathers are not perfect. But our everlasting Father, He will never leave you or forsake you. And His deep love abides with you, not just in this life, but even for all eternity. He is everlasting. The Apostle Paul is so confident of the love of this everlasting Father that in Romans 8 he writes, I am convinced that nothing, absolutely nothing, can get between us and God's love because of the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. He is everlasting Father. And then Isaiah tells us one more thing. His name is Prince of Peace. And that takes care of the disturbances of life. Now, I don't have to tell you this evening that this world is filled with conflict and trouble. We can experience it in our own lives. And maybe there are some things even now that are keeping you up at night. Jesus tells His disciples that in this world you will have trouble. But then He says, Fear not, little ones, for I have overcome the world. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. We need not fret or fuss or be afraid. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus came into this world to give every one of us a restart. You know, a long time ago in Bethlehem, some shepherds were out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. What a boring job. What a dirty job. What a dangerous job. What a thankless job. Shepherds were among the working poor of Jesus' day. They did the job that nobody else wanted to do. And they were out in the fields. Suddenly, God burst into their lives and gave them a restart. At first, they were terrified by this heavenly visit, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name is Good News, Great Joy for everyone, a restart for everyone, for you, for me." Did you ever notice how our favorite Christmas movies are all about restarts? The Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, angry, bitter, stingy, he gets a restart. It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, wow, doesn't have much hope, but he gets a restart. Even the Grinch, with his tiny heart that's five sizes too small, but because it's Christmas, he gets a restart. You know, we love those stories because they are stories about us. And you might think that it's only in a movie, but it could be in your life, when you unwrap the gift, the greatest gift that God has given us. And so as we light candles and sing of that silent night long ago, I want you to ask yourself, where do you need a restart? And I would invite you to open your heart to the light of Christ and let this be a Merry Christmas. Amen.